Good morning. Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." It's probably the only election in all history which was determined solely by who is worthy. Who's worthy to establish the perfect kingdom? It's really the question of the ages. Long ago, the Assyrians tried to establish one with brute force, terrorizing the masses into submission. For some reason, the masses didn't like that terrorizing, and it fell. Babylon sought to create one by removing all divisions, melding everyone into one unit in submission to the God of the state. For some reason, many didn't like losing their individuality, and it fell. The Greeks tried to create one with education, so everybody would choose the right way. Just couldn't agree on what the right way was, so it hardly got started. Rome tried to create one with laws establishing justice. But those laws were perverted with all the selfishness of men, and it fell. Like other kingdom attempts, America has also, with a variation on the above things, tried to establish a kingdom. Yet it is falling further into the pit of relativism, selfishness, and ungodliness. The view from down here is certainly worthy of weeping, as our text presents. Man tries every avenue to create a perfect kingdom. And what do we hear? No one is worthy. Verse 2, the angels even pick up the cry, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals?" So what is this scroll? And why is it sealed? Well, it's God's whole plan for the earth and man. The things that must come to pass. And it's sealed because no man has the eyes to see the future, nor the power to control it. And anyone who tries is really making himself God, setting himself out to the Lord's holy city. And so verse 4, John wept. All heaven is in fact with him there, we're shown, watching in desperate suspense because everyone wants to know what the future will bring and who is worthy. But what do we read? Verse 3. No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth can be found who is worthy. And yet then one of the elders rushes forward with the message. One has been found. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. And everybody is leaning forwards in their seats to see who this lion is. And as the trumpets blow the fanfare and he enters, they see not a lion, but a lamb with seven eyes and seven horns. Yes, he has the eyes to see all God's plan. He has the horns of omnipotent power to carry it out. So is that what made him worthy? No. Because remember, the lion, the Son of God, had that omniscience and omnipotence from eternity. And what were we told? No one in heaven could take that scroll. So what was it that made him worthy now if it wasn't his omniscience and omnipotence? Remember, he came not as the lion, but as the lamb that was slain. Christ crucified is the key to the whole counsel of God. Notice then that the Lamb does what God's omnipotence itself could not do. It's only by becoming man that he could take upon himself the cursed punishment for all of our sins, even death itself. It's only because he is God that he could make that payment effectively for you and me and the whole world. It's only as the God-man that he could come under the law so that in perfect fulfillment he could keep that place, keep that law in place of you and me and the whole world. It is only this lamb that was slain that can and has established the perfect kingdom. The kingdom of eternal righteousness, peace, and joy in him. Worthy is the Lamb. This chapter goes on to make it clear that we either live our life giving him that doxology, or we lose our life giving it. For what follows now is a threefold echo of praise. First, the four living creatures, the heralds of God's salvation to all men, and the 24 elders, the church of Old Testament and New Testament, take up the song, verses 9 and 10. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests unto God, and we will reign on earth. Then, in the volume of myriads of angels, the song is echoed. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then finally, every creature sounds forth that praise. Yes, even those who have cast away his blood-bought salvation will on the last day join in that praise, bowing their knee. Their song, unlike the church's, does not sing of being made kings and priests unto God, for they rejected that. They will bear the result of their unbelief and yet still give prostrate adoration. Worthy is the Lamb. This opened scroll does show us what must come to pass. Jesus is going to win. Heaven is asking the question, who is worthy? Are you in the chorus that's answering with the song of your lips? Worthy is the Lamb, for he was slain for me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn 341, stanzas 1 and 3.